Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We
get
better and better.
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. We will let you know when Mr. Jay will be in this week. Busy one. Hope you had a good weekend. Busy weekend. A lot of baseball to hit. Some recruiting thoughts. We'll get into some NBA. Mike Babcock of Hail Varsity going to be with us in 15 minutes. His thoughts on Nebraska baseball. Also interesting, in Dirk Chatelain's Mad Chatter, 25 years ago, the future of Husker athletics hanging in the balance with a new AD that was needed to be picked. TJ Henning, do you care to chime in about Grandpa?
Well, I wish it had gone the other way. That's how I'll leave it.
I am amazed, and Dirk did this in his Mad Chatter, and Babbers was covering Nebraska football, so we'll talk to Babbers about how close, couple of things. A, how close TJ Henning's grandfather, Al Papik, awesome man, great grandson. I'm going to just pump you up.
Thank
there.
You.
Was to getting the AD job, and mm-hmm. two, just was T.O. close to saying peace out.
Yeah.
See ya. So we'll talk with Babbers about that. And those of you that were around or cared back in 1992, pretty important time of Nebraska football. You had a new freshman quarterback that led you to 9 wins. You had a new defensive setup, a 4-3. And you were a year away from the golden era happening. So we'll get into that.
And I was 2 years old.
You were 2 years of age. Coming up, Charlie McBride, Mr. Blackshirt, 1 hour from now. We'll get caught up with Coach McBride. We'll get his thoughts on quarterbacks, how you defend him. And since it's been a week since we've had him on, a thought on some of those hybrid players offensively. But also, Coach McBride was in the middle of this. I mean, he was at Nebraska when Devaney stepped down, and Nebraska was looking for a new athletic department director. Satellite camp and recruiting update, a talented quarterback out of Council Bluffs. I take back everything I've ever thought and maybe at times have said out loud about Council Bluffs. I'm saying I'm sorry.
Okay.
So that will be on the docket. NBA Finals thoughts, and you are welcome to join us. Tap the Line, brought to you by Schilling Bridge Cork and Tap House, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. On Twitter, at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt_radio, at TJ_Henning. Those phone numbers I just gave you, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. You'll need to speed dial those.
Oh, yeah.
When you hit, do you have the cue to call? Or do I just need to give it?
What are we?
For the smoker.
Oh, well, we're just qualifying people for that all
the
time.
I know. But, yeah.
I haven't been told if there's been a cue to call or not.
Okay, that's phenomenal.
Unless I haven't been filled in.
No. That it happened sparingly around here. So what I'm telling you about here is that you got a smoking hot dad. I'm not going to judge you if you're a smoking hot dad. Okay?
Or if you got the dad bod.
Or I have the dad bod, and I'm proud of that thing. What we're doing here the next couple of weeks is giving you a chance to qualify for a smoker. Yes, that's a high five. Southern County Stainless Steel Electric Smoker. We'll give one away Friday. But you qualify on Greg and Smith, qualify here on Hail Varsity, and we'll do one of the smoker giveaways this Friday during Hail Varsity Radio. Think about that electric smoker and what you can do with it. The pork butt, the ribs, the brisket, a value of $544. Also, with the smoking hot dad, promotion, your chance to qualify for a $100 gift card to Leon's Gourmet Grocer. Leon's phenomenal, folks. And a gift basket from Leon's that gives you spices, that gives you rubs, that gives you wood chips, that gives you wood planks, and a steak certificate. Okay? We'll qualify you this hour for the Smoking Hot Dad Smoker giveaway this Friday. We'll qualify you next hour. Did I lay out all the business? And oh, yes, World of Outlaw tickets to the giveaway.
A pair each day this week.
Yes.
And then the free 6 months to Hail Varsity as well.
Yeah, so it is bribery June.
And then Salt Dogs along this week as well.
Okay, so all these sorts of goodies on top of the phenomenal content and wistful tones. Okay, let's talk Nebraska baseball because there's a tone in the air right now about Nebraska baseball. You're angry, you're frustrated, you are wondering about, you know, can this team get over the hump? And the season's over, so Nebraska baseball fans are frustrated, and going 0-for in the regional, not good. Going 0-for in the regional, not good a year ago, and the stat that has been tattooed on everyone's left forearm is 1-10 in postseason play. Let's figure out why this has happened. Nebraska was supposed to go to Corvallis as Big Ten champs and get a chance to play Oregon State. If you're going to get ousted, if you're going to get eliminated, it's by Oregon State, the number one national seed. Not by Holy Cross.
Bill Simmons University.
Whatever. Not by Yale. That's what can't happen. It did happen. Why? Can I just stop and I've heard these murmurs and I've been on some decks here the last weekend. Just your casual base. When I say by decks, I mean just been around sports fans and having a cocktail and just listening. And people that I know are very supportive of where Nebraska baseball's at. Are they disappointed with the weekend? Yeah. Are they disappointed with the Big Ten tournament? Yeah. But overall, what is this team right now under Darren Erstad? This team under Darren Erstad, since he's taken over, has been built up to be a postseason team. Now, do they need to win in the postseason? Yes. He wants that, covets that, demands that. I think it will happen. And you're probably rolling your eyes about the be patient speech. No, I think they're going to address some things. One is power hitting. Are you going to look at what you have in your lineup? And what can you get in your lineup? Here's what your task is. Go get yourself a power hitter that is good enough to crush pitchers in the Big Ten and beyond, but not good enough to be drafted in the majors. See that fine line? Go get pitchers that are going to keep you in ball games and dominate, but they're not good enough to be drafted into the majors. There's a slew of talent when it comes to power hitters and power pitchers and dominant pitchers out in California. Well, Nebraska has kind of picked their spots out there. They've done a better job of recruiting the upper Midwest. You got a ton of Minnesota kids and Wisconsin kids on the roster. Great. I know that I will start a civil war talking about either the lack of or the ignorance of in-state kids in the state of Nebraska when it comes to baseball and that recruitment. There's some really talented kids not playing baseball at Nebraska. Why? I don't know. They've gone other places. Part of that is you only have so many scholarships. Part of that is maybe there is some relationships formed with previous guys who've been here, i.e. Childress. Part of that, maybe Nebraska didn't show up and recruit the kid. I don't know. I'm supposed to know, but I don't have definitive answers on that. So Nebraska baseball right now is a postseason team. Is that okay with you? Or are you the fan that is upset that they're not more than just a postseason team? Are you mad that they've gone 0-for? Are you frustrated? Or is this a snowball effect where you have a long memory of missteps by baseball in the postseason? You're pissed about how football finished, and you have a running track record of how basketball has not performed well down the stretch. It's been written about a couple of different places, but it's been on your mind as a Nebraska sports fan for a while here. And I think some of the vocal minority of maybe questioning the direction of the baseball program, this is a snowball effect. Has the baseball team not performed in the postseason the last couple of years? Yeah. But here's what we're talking about. We're talking about getting to the postseason. That wasn't happening under the previous guy, period. They're a far, far, far cry from 2005 in talent and in conference even, okay? You can go recruit some big bats to play Big 12 baseball. You can try and find some kids to play Gorilla Ball in Big Ten, but it's not as easy to do. That's a fact. And it's not as easy to go find the next job at Chamberlain either to come pitch for you in the Big Ten. There are some challenges geographically. There's better attention paid, obviously, to the Big Ten by their own coaches and teams and universities. But Coach Erstad's doing a hell of a job, and he is really trying to infect his kids mentally with a baseball approach that will be difference-making. They just got to get it together. He had a bunch of guys that were good and good enough to play college baseball, but in all honesty, man, they probably overachieved getting a conference championship. You may or may not care about that. I think you care. You cared 2 weeks ago about it. Mm-hmm. But right now, they are probably good enough to get into the postseason. Anything beyond that is probably gravy. That's a fact of talent level with good kids that busted hard, and you just got to be patient for it to be better. And right now, at least you're talking about postseason versus not being invited to your conference tournament or not going. My point here is be happy with what you have, and you got one of the best ever to represent you. And you got one of the best ever who gets it about being an all-star level performer. So I think things will be fine. I have no answer for you as far as the last 2 years of postseason play.
Yeah.
There's frustration, and I get it. There's frustration with baseball, but there's frustration with everything right now. And I think a lot of the piling on the last 48 hours is not just baseball, but it's the other sports too.
Oh,
it's a frustrated fan base.
Yeah, frustrated with the three men sports, that's for sure. But let's remember, 2 or 3 years ago, the LA Dodgers were wanting Darren Erstad.
Let's remember, two or three years ago, you probably didn't give a damn about Nebraska baseball until they were winning. And that's how the fan base is.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I also wonder, too, if Sands' expectations are too high, because it was either Brandon Vogel or Gary Sharp we have on Saturdays were saying that the Nebraska baseball job maybe isn't as easy as people think.
No.
And I think it is pretty easy, but
not
it
every year
is
going to be 2005. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. That's special. And sometimes we get lost in what is actually special and what's common. Your new normal's not going to the CWS every year.
No.
You mean your new normal, I hope, is
a regional every year.
Yeah, going to a regional. 3 in 6 years was, you know, St. Van Horn. and the Cats killing it at Arkansas. Okay, that's once in a generational type hire.
It is just really disappointing, though, how you scored 21 runs and 15 runs to end your season, and then your last four games you combined to score 10 runs. Like,
let's look at who it was against. When you went to video game to score your slew of runs, it was against awful pitching. Okay, you feasted on bad pitching. That's a fact. When you get shut down, it's because you're facing teams that have some talent. They're really good. And when push comes to shove offensively, you need 6 hits in an inning to get 2 runs, it feels like. And that pressure multiplies when, okay, the guy in front of me didn't get it done, so now I got to get it done. And instead of just swinging my approach. Let's make contact. Let's get bat on ball. Let's try and knock the crap out of this thing into the next area code, because who knows if anyone behind me can pick me up if I don't get it done. There's the pressing. And then let's talk offensive trickle down, or defensive trickle down. If I'm a pitcher on that staff, how many runs am I going to get? And do I have to throw a no-hitter? How many runs can I allow? And again, this sounds like I'm bad-mouthing the baseball team. I think they are a great group of dudes that played really well. And when push came to shove in on Sundays in Big Ten play, got it done at a very high level and won your regular season. You can't scoff or sneeze at that at all, nor should you. They're just not talented enough to take the next step yet, and that's win or perform well against a regional. The problem you have is who they didn't perform against. Nebraska baseball should be better than Holy Cross and Yale. End of discussion, period. I get that. But don't confuse what happened this past weekend and the frustration of the last couple of years with the lack of progress being made. There's a ton of progress made thanks to Coach Erstad and where this program's back at, and that's at least in the postseason.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
That's their opinion. They can go there if they want to. I'm not going to sit here and control what people think. I know the work that this group's put in, and I've played in a lot of postseasons. I've been around postseasons as a player and a coach, and it all comes down to who gets hot at a certain time. And for whatever reason, the last 2 years, we have gotten ice cold offensively.
Darren Erstad, after the loss to Holy Cross, the narrative perception of the team fading at the end. Welcome in historian, author, Hall of Famer, writer with Hail Varsity, Mike Babcock, at MD Babs on Twitter. Babbers, thanks for the time. How you feeling?
Hey, I'm not too bad. Not too bad, somebody.
Well, appreciate it. I know you're toughing one out today with the voice, and I wanted to hear your thoughts on Nebraska baseball and kind of get your take. A reaction to those questioning the direction of the program. B, a thought on what this team really did this year. I know they're called conference champs, but to me, when I look at this thing pretty hard, it's a nice accomplishment, and I'm kind of like Erstad. I don't like participation ribbons either.
No, but, you know, I think the Big Ten champion over the course of the season, I think that's more substantial than what happens in a tournament, in a conference tournament.
Yep.
You know, having said that, I don't think my voice issues are a result of Nebraska leaving me speechless, but I didn't see, you know, I really didn't see it coming, the performance in the Big Ten tournament. You know, beating Purdue, you expect that. As you pointed out, you know, you put up a lot of runs, and you probably should there. The thing that surprised me, the Holy Cross thing, I guess, is the one that surprised me. The Yale thing, Yale had a good pitcher, Politz. He had 12 starts on the season, 6 complete games, although 5 of those, I think, were 7-inning games. But he did have he had impressive enough credentials that I think at tournament time, if you've got a pitcher that can do something like that, and you know, Yale got off to a good start, got a couple runs, and all of a sudden Nebraska's in a position where maybe it's questioning itself a little bit. Afterward, Darren Erstad said that Yale outcompeted Nebraska, and he was disappointed in that. I think that was accurate. After the Holy Cross game, he gave credit to Holy Cross, but I would guess that in the locker room afterward, he probably talked more about being outcompeted by Holy Cross. That's the one that really sort of underscores the problem at tournament time, I think. There's a school that doesn't give scholarships, has 3,000 students. I just think that, looking back on it, I think that Nebraska never got out of that mindset that, hey, this is the Oregon State Regional. We played Oregon State a couple of times. We're going to play them in Corvallis. We're going to look at that. And no matter how hard you try to say we're playing pitch by pitch, I don't think that the Nebraska baseball team ever got to that point. Mm.
What area of the game does the baseball team need to really work in this offseason, in your opinion, Mike?
I think all the way around. And, Smitty mentioned earlier about pitching. I think you've obviously got to get the pitching, but it is difficult. This is not an easy situation that Darren Erstad and his staff face recruiting here because of the northern situation and the fact that you're still relatively new to the Big Ten. You've got to establish areas where you can get guys, but you've got to have that pitching. And I don't think that Nebraska got it, obviously, in the regional. Didn't get it in the Big Ten tournament to the extent that it needed to be there. But you have to be able to pitch to be successful at tournament time, obviously. And then Nebraska, you can't say that Nebraska exactly went ice cold against Holy Cross in the tournament or offensively, but you've got to be more consistent, and that was a problem early in the year, that inconsistency in the lineup, and it cropped up again, and I don't have a good answer for that.
From a pressure standpoint, that's where I go, and if you don't have Hopper or Johnson, I'm going to continue to reference those two big bats from glory years of Nebraska baseball, where they'd come in and they were double-digit home run guys, and I know Schreiber was a double-digit guy last year, but there's just so much pressure on your lineup, your offense, to string together hits versus getting that one big hit. I think guys press, and I think it also is reflected on pitching, where guys got to feel like they're perfect, that whole margin for error thing. The truth of it is there with Nebraska's run production in big games against good opponents, against good pitching. There's just some fear, honestly, Mike, because of what they know they have to do, because of what they don't have. Can they go get some power hitters like they grow on trees? They don't. Can they go get that part of their offense fixed here in the next couple of years?
Well, I don't know. Maybe they've got the guys on the team right now that could have that power. It kind of depends on your hitting approach and how you want to go about things. And so maybe that's a question that best asked to Erstad and his staff, whether they maybe have some guys that can do it, but that's not the hitting approach that they have. I don't think it was. I go back to the NCAA thing. I don't think it was fear as much as it was the mindset. Again,
looking ahead.
I'm probably, we can't. It's Yale, and it's Holy Cross, and I just don't think they got it in their heads that hey, you got to beat these teams before you can play Oregon State. And no matter how hard you try to say it as a coach, I don't think they ever got to that point. I don't think they got beyond that. And again, Yale had a good starting pitcher, and Holy Cross, there's no way that Nebraska should have lost that game. But when you're in that mindset, I think anything can happen.
Babers, do you think Nebraska fans appreciate the job Erstad's done and where the program's at right now?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I was at all the games at Haymarket Park, and there's there's some good fans that travel with the team, go on the road to watch the Huskers. I think the fans do appreciate it, but it's easy to get frustrated when you look at what has happened in the postseason. And the way I look at that, obviously there's a pattern, but I don't see necessarily a correlation, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. I think each season is an entity in itself, and so you look at the regional. Where Nebraska went to Clemson, and you're playing different teams, and it's a whole different set of circumstances. So Even though, again, there's a pattern there, I don't necessarily see that there's a correlation between the things. I think each entity, it's an entity within itself, and so there are issues that wouldn't necessarily carry over from one season to the next.
Mike, want to shift gears. Got about 4 minutes here, a little less than. And go back to 1992 and how interesting was live covering football and the upcoming athletic director search for Nebraska football. The reason I bring it up is Dirk had it in his mad chatter. But I think back to it, and what an interesting time to be associated with Nebraska football, with Coach Osborne, with TJ's grandfather, Al Papik, and then Graham Spanier and Bill Byrne eventually being named the athletic director. That had to be wild, Mike.
Yeah, you know, it was. And I probably, since I went through it, and my perspective is probably going to be different. Mm-hmm. And I read what Dirk wrote, and I mean, Dirk's my man. So, I mean, he's very thorough, and I appreciate his opinion. My point of view was that I knew Al Papik, a great guy, mm-hmm. Had proven himself could be a good administrator. I've always felt that the Nebraska position, whether it be athletic director or whether it be a coach or whatever, you have to have an understanding of the culture here. You have to have it. Now, it doesn't mean you have to have been a coach here or whatever, but you have to understand it. And I think that there have been people that didn't understand it. I felt like that I would have been more comfortable had the thing played out with Al Papik stepping in and handling that job until Osborne was ready to mm-hmm. step aside and then make the transition to Osborne, because I think that would have been best for the program. In retrospect, I have the advantage now of looking back at it. I think in some ways Bill Byrne was the right person at the right time, because he understood that you had to go from the sort of Bob Devaney approach, which for me, Bob Devaney's approach was always the good old boy, shake hands and with boosters, and that's the way things got done. Bill Byrne was more of a I don't know what the word was.
CEO.
It wasn't that. Yeah. I mean, he had an understanding of that. Now, I don't know that he put as much emphasis on football. And whether that was because you left it to Tom or, how that mm-hmm. worked, I don't know that. But he certainly, in retrospect, again, I'm going to say he was the right guy at the right time.
How tense was it, Mike? And we've got like 30 seconds. We might need to keep you another 5 minutes on this. But was it just super intense down there at the football offices?
Well, yeah, I think it was, obviously, because Tom, look at his situation there now. He hadn't had that run mm-hmm. at the end of his time there. And if you look at that in retrospect, it's like, well, gee, after 97, wouldn't it have been nice to keep Tom around as athletic director? Because I think that, and I say this with all due respect to Steve Peterson when he came here, I think that Steve was in over his head a little bit. And I think that Nebraska would have been better off had Tom been in a position to be the athletic director at that point. But it didn't happen that way. And, we've sort of seen where things have gone since then.
Mike Babcock with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Babbers, hang on. Can we keep your voice
sure.
and you for another 5 minutes next? And we'll spend a little bit more time on this 1992 post-Devaney transition from the athletic director's chair. Mike Babcock of Hail Varsity with us, TJ Henning, Chris Schmidt. More Mike Babcock when we return on Hail Varsity. Hang on.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. 30 minutes away, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Kevin Suits will join us. Don't forget your chance, the Smoking Hot Dad promotion. They did me in a bro tank, promise you that. Your chance at a smoker, the Southern County Stainless Steel Smoker, and a gift basket and gift card from Leon's Gourmet Grocer. We'll give you a cue to call this hour and next. Your chance at HailVarsity.com, 6-month online subscription, and World of Outlaw stuff coming up. We're talking baseball. We're talking transition post Devaney. Dirk Chatelain, Mad Chatter, wrote about it 25 years ago this June. Bob Devaney was going to go goodbye. God love him. And Nebraska was in search for a new athletic director. TJ Henning, co-host, producer. His grandpa, Al Papik, was the choice of not just the people that were winning a lot of games. And Bill Byrne ended up getting it. Graham Spanier was the chancellor, and he went, he touched gloves with T.O. Not physically, but that's the perception that was going on. Mike Babcock with us has covered Nebraska football 39 years and counting, HailVarsity.com. We're getting Babber's thoughts on this. Mike, and back to baseball and just football and the world of sports at Nebraska. It's pretty tough to win here, isn't it? I mean, some people have made it look easy, and it's really not.
It is, and the world is changing. I mean, in a column I wrote, I quoted Tennessee Williams, you know, which, you know, the line from a Glass Menagerie is, the world is lit by lightning now, okay? And in this age where you can watch, Nebraska once in football had an advantage because it was on TV a lot, mm-hmm. relative to what the NCAA allowed. You know, there were years there where you could be on a maximum three times or whatever. But Nebraska had that kind of exposure, and it helped your recruiting. Now, anybody is on TV. You can see any of that sort of thing. So, guys, just stay closer to home. It's harder to recruit that way. The same thing applies to basketball. Probably the same thing applies to baseball. It's much more difficult to recruit now to Nebraska because of all the things that we've talked about, you know, population base, weather, all those considerations. It's just more difficult to do in any of those sports. That's in some ways, and I'm oversimplifying here, and so if I'm wrong, I'm actually, because of my voice, I'm actually a ventriloquist dummy, and somebody else is saying these things, but I won't tell you who. But you know, I think that the recruiting thing is huge for Nebraska in all these sports. It's just more difficult to get the people here. And that's where I think it starts. And, you know, one of the things that Steve Peterson told me when he first came here, and I knew Steve going back to when he worked in the sports information office or whatever, and if you look back at it, people were excited when he came here as athletic director. You know, he's one of ours. He came here. Didn't take long for that to fall apart. But, you know, one of the things that he told me was that he was concerned about Nebraska dropping off in recruiting, because Steve had done some stuff with recruiting when he was here. You know, I think he's a recruiting coordinator when he was on staff here at one point. And he said, if Nebraska, it's a fine line between being successful in recruiting and not for Nebraska. And if Nebraska ever falls off that on the wrong side of the line in football, it's going to be difficult to get that thing back. Mm. And I think he was right. I mean, I think he was right about that part. Now, how he went about doing things, I think, was the wrong way. I think that if Frank Solich had remained the coach here, things would have been a little bit different, because you had a guy who understood the culture and a guy that understood the dynamics of what it took to be successful here. And when Steve made the decision to get rid of Frank Solich and bring in Bill Callahan, I think that's when things started to go... go south, even though Frank had a 7-7 season or whatever. He understood the culture here, and he understood what it took to be successful.
So, Mike, I want to go back to that 1992 decision. Obviously, my grandpa being Al Papik, I've heard this story numerous times, but Bob Devaney and Tom Osborne come into my grandpa's room, they close the door, and like, hey, Al, here's the plan, you know. I'm going to retire. we're going to promote you to athletic director for 3 to 5 years. You're going to hold that position. And then Tom, he's going to, after that, 3 to 5 years, take over your job. So then he'll give the head coaching job to Frank. So they had everything planned out. They had all the coaches give their signatures for my grandpa being the athletic director, except for, I guess, the women's basketball coach wasn't a fan of my grandpa at the time for some reason. But I'm just wondering if for the when Bill Byrne had that press conference, if you can back me up on this, I think my grandpa was telling me that maybe only like one or two coaches from the athletic department were actually there, because they were all just, you know, kind of blindsided by this, and they thought they were going to have their way, that Al Papke was going to be athletic director.
I think that's accurate. Now, I don't know the numbers, but I think that's accurate, and I'll take a further example of that beyond Bill Byrne. One of the things that I thought when Bill left here, I thought it was a little bit unusual. He leaves here, but he says, you know, I'll help Steve Peterson in the transition. Well, if you're leaving here, you're not going to help Steve Peterson in the transition, that whole thing. So there were lots of quirky things that happened during that time. And that's my recollection, too, is that there were people in the athletic department that weren't on board with that whole thing. And again, I want to underscore all this stuff. In retrospect, I think probably Bill Byrne was the right guy at the right time. Mm-hmm. But in my way, to my way of thinking, at that time, I thought this is what has to happen. You know, Al Papke has to be the transition guy. He can do the job. And when Tom Osmer is ready to step aside, because Tom made some commitment to Frank Solich when he named him offensive coordinator when Frank was considering going to Wisconsin, I think, mm-hmm. with Barry Alvarez. Tom gave him the title offensive coordinator, but he also made a commitment to him and said, look, at some point I'm going to step aside. You're going to be the guy that replaces me. And I think that Tom's decision, there were a lot of factors involved in Tom's decision to step aside after the 97 season. But one of those factors was that Tom was concerned that if he waited much longer, he wouldn't be able to say, Frank is going to be the guy that replaces me. Mm-hmm. That Bill Byrne would have made a decision. Then, as it turns out, it was Steve Peterson that made the decision to get rid of Frank. But Tom, when he made that decision to step aside, his thought was, if I don't do it now, and then there was health issues and there were, you know, family issues and commitments that he had made along the way as well. But one of those was, if I don't step aside now, Frank might not be the guy that replaces me. And if Frank isn't the guy that replaces me, then these guys on staff that have been loyal to me over the period of time won't be able to stick around either.
Mike Babcock with us, Hail Varsity Radio at MD Babs on Twitter. Babbers, this was a lot of fun to kind of go down memory lane and talk a little bit about a subject and topic that some folks may know about, but more detail needed. And thanks for spending a few minutes with us today.
Hey, my pleasure, Smitty. Always is great to talk to you. The one thing I wonder is whether it was Grant Spanier who said, going into the Big 12, nothing will change. We're just adding four teams.
Yeah.
I think he was the one that said that.
Opened the door to a lot. Mike, be
and
good,
then
buddy.
He took off.
Thanks so
All
much.
Right. Good talking to you. Yeah.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Big thanks to Mike Babcock, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. We covered Husker baseball and the disappointment and Babber's take that got to lock in on who you're playing and not look ahead is brilliant. And I think this team achieved a lot. I think Coach Erstad's done a great job getting the program back to postseason reservations. Now you just got to continue to grow from it. The 1992 post-Devaney era as AD is a topic of discussion today because Dirk Chatelain had in his mad chatter. Babbers was alive and well. TJ Henning, you were crawling around probably when Coach Devaney and Coach Osborne rolled over to your grandfather's house and said, hey, Al, got a minute, Al Papik, mm-hmm. the grandfather of TJ Henning. That's so fascinating to hear all of, not politics, but just the maneuvering of mm-hmm. kind of your for lack of a better term, your candidate.
Oh, for sure.
I mean,
yeah.
And to think what... We'll get into this with Coach McBride. Charlie McBride Mondays with Charlie in 10 minutes. Because Charlie was living it, too.
Yeah.
1992. They just finished 15th in the country. They just lost another bowl game, but they're closer. They just shifted defenses. They got a sophomore to be quarterback. Or excuse me, a true freshman quarterback, Tommy Frazier, coming in. Find me. Usually it goes the other way. The play-by-play dork is the one who gets the Tommy Armstrong, Tommy Frazier thing wrong in football. Not commentary, play-by-play. Sauter Heyman never gets it wrong with their pure-grown diamonds. Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds. Sauter Heyman, 100% real. They're grown in a lab. They're eco-friendly. They are beautiful. They are sustainable. They are 10 to 40% less than traditional earth-mined diamonds. See how awesome they are. See why they are some of the biggest and best sellers with Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman. 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion. Also in Lincoln, around West and Grand Island, SauterHeyman.com. Kevin Suits was in Corvallis. We'll get his take on what he saw in about 35 minutes. Okay, so here's what's going on this week and next. We are qualifying dads out there. You don't have to be a dad, but it's cool if you are, for the Smoking Hot Dad promotion. What this is, on Friday, we will give away here on Hail Varsity a Southern County stainless steel electric smoker. Say yes and throw some ribs on or some steaks from Leon's Gourmet Grocer, a gift basket from Leon's, $100 gift card to Leon's, and your own smoker, Dad, because you're awesome. So you got to listen for this.
Hey, can one of your weathermen come over here and comment on the meat while I'm cooking it?
Yeah, I got it.
Man alive, there's nothing better than a hamburger grilled to perfection.
Yeah, don't flip them too often now. You don't want to lose your juices.
Caller 9 now at 402-466-ESPN is instantly qualified to win a brand new smoker this Friday from ESPN 1480.
Smoking!
So that's what you listen for. Play it again. Be caller 9. Right now, get qualified for the Smoking Hot Dad giveaway, courtesy of ESPN and Hail Varsity. Caller 9, 466-3776 or 800-825-5865. Caller 9 now.
Hey, can one of your weathermen come over here and comment on the meat while I'm cooking it?
Yeah, I got it.
Man alive, there's nothing better than a hamburger grilled to perfection.
Yeah, don't flip them too often now. You don't want to lose your juices.
Caller 9 now at 402-466-ESPN is instantly qualified to win a brand new smoker this Friday from ESPN 1480.
Smoking!
Yes, a smoker is always a good idea. Caller 9, now. Charlie McBride next.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day, day by day, we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get beat, beat.
We get beat,
beat.
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Hour two, great to be with you. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Thoughts on the upcoming quarterbacks for 2019 this hour. TJ will slap me if I don't get to any NBA in the NBA Finals. Kevin Suits back from Corvallis. More thoughts on Nebraska baseball this postseason. Your chance still for the Smoking Hot Dad promotion. Don't get sick with that vision in your mind. It's about a smoker. A smoker you can win on Friday.
Mm-hmm. And World of Outlaw tickets.
Yes, we'll give that
and
away.
And also
HailVarsity.com subscription too. We welcome in. It is Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, brought to you by Emeritus. No one likes to be distracted during the game. If you find yourself preoccupied with financial concerns, Emeritus can help you find focus and help protect your loved ones with disability insurance, life insurance, and investment planning. Also, helping protect your employees with retirement, dental, vision, and hearing plans. 130 years of peace of mind. That's Emeritus. Proud to stand by Husker Athletics. Proud to bring you Charlie McBride. Coach, I got quite a bit of golf in this week. How are you?
Well, I just want to know how that smoker is going to be delivered.
Oh, so, you want to know when the smoker's coming. You got to be caller 9 to qualify. Don't reach through the phone and hurt me, okay? But the smoker we got's phenomenal, and we give one away this Friday and next Friday. So,
yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to have fun.
Oh, it'll be great. And that's just right around the corner for Father's Day. And, Coach, there's so much to get into this week, and I wanted to start off with a couple of thoughts. Some recent articles that have been out there, and get your expertise on it first. Thoughts on hybrid defenders, and that's something that ESPN kind of profiled in their football coverage during the offseason, and what Alabama has. And I guess wanted you to spend a few minutes, if you could, on how you went about looking at a kid to be a hybrid. And B, how you got enough reps in for a guy to be versatile. And I think about the kids that you had that were truly just special. And I think of Jamel Williams. I think of a guy like Terrell Farley. And there's many others. Mike Brown, kind of your rover. I mean, the guy was so good against the run and then also in coverage. Coach, developing that hybrid guy either on the edge or at a defensive back spot, how difficult is it to do?
Well, it really isn't. If you have a package in your mind that you know that you're going to kind of keep them to, because you got to remember that the time element is not easy in college to get them to play maybe possibly two positions. However, if you're with the situation there now with outside backers,
mm-hmm.
They have a good chance of having hybrid defensive ends or outside backers. I shouldn't say defensive ends, but
right.
With our outside linebackers. It's also, you know, I think one of the guys, for example, that we had that actually moved from safety to linebacker was Eddie Stewart. And Eddie could play linebacker. Of course, he did and was an All-American, but he could also be play strong safety, which is basically what Mike Brown did. The free safety position in most cases is a guy that can go sideline to sideline and, you know, really cover ground. At least in our defense, it was. A lot of them play too deep, so both of them are really involved in deep coverage and not as much in the run situation. But our strong safety was really involved. Even though we looked like cover two, we weren't always in cover two, but there are positions that you could say. I could say this almost when we had the speed we had. The only true person that to me at the linebacker position, and you just mentioned two of them, Terrell and
Jamel.
Now, those guys both could play probably any position on the field except defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And what I say is a lot of times they will play them, especially if there's a lot of teams playing with no tight end, which gives you flexibility on the corners to come with blitzing, dropping, you know, all kinds of different things with fire blitzes and zone blitzes. 1 minute you're dropping, 1 minute you're rushing, 1 minute the defensive tackle or whatever. I don't know what their terminology is for their defensive ends.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's where I'm confused. I don't want to get people confused, but in college a long time ago, a tackle was the guy lined up basically in a 3-4 over the tackle.
Right.
And there wasn't a lot of underhook, which means they were kicked down in a 3 technique over the guard. So a lot of it was just they were – but if you went to the NFL, those were defensive ends, and what we call defensive ends were outside linebackers.
Sure. Sure.
So sometimes when I'm talking to people, they're going like, what's he really talking about? Because, you know, you got to – so I try to stay on the terminology that they're using now, and I'm not really sure because I haven't spent any time, you know, getting into it until just before the season when I'll talk to some of them about the defense a little bit so I learn a little more what they're trying to do. And I don't want to – get to a point where I'm stepping on toes and
sure, you know,
they act like I'm sniffing around or something. But I think any time you get a hybrid, I think you could, you know, you'll see guys like at Alabama that can play linebacker and they can play in the secondary too.
Yeah.
Or they can move up and play outside rush guy or defensive end or linebacker, whatever you consider your end man on the defense. And so I think with the athletes that are being recruited by some of the schools, you'll find more of them.
Well, and that's what Nebraska's doing, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this next topic, and that's IMG Academy. And Nebraska's got a couple of kids coming in from IMG, and it's a place that it's like a college because kids are away from home, and they're drilling football all the time. They're obviously focusing on school, but they're drilling football, and you're getting a more polished product, theoretically a better tackler, a better athlete than some areas. Coach, what do you think of these academies, places like IMG, and were there some areas that you went back to that well quite a bit because they turned out pretty good football players and could play early?
Well, I think, too, that I don't know what their exact recruiting process is, but I'm sure there's a little bit of it there. But I think that's, you know, anytime you can go to a school that you're going to get a good education at and you're going to work on the skills that you want to use in the future, I think if I want to be a baseball player, too, if I want to be that may not work out as good.
Right.
But I think, you know, and as you've heard a lot of coaches say, the more sports they play, they think the better off a person is.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's just, two people talking in different channels, you know, as to what's best for them. However, kids that are coming in right now and going to the college level, they've chosen their point that they're going to play that. They're not going to go play professional basketball or college basketball or whatever, baseball.
Mm-hmm.
They want to play football. And so what they're learning is probably at a higher level than you would at a normal high school. You know, no matter how good the high school is, your concentration on your technique, the use of your feet, hands, mm-hmm. eyes, all those things are things that are probably spent more time talking about and recognizing, being able to recognize things both offensively and defensively.
Charlie McBride with us, Mondays with Charlie, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, article was out today from friend of the show with the Omaha World Herald, Dirk Chatland, and we just had Mike Babcock on last hour. It detailed the transition of the athletic director office in 1992 when Coach Devaney retired and the TJ, who calls you every Monday and jumps in on the show and co-hosts with me, his grandfather's Al Papik, you know, and Al was the guy that many wanted as the AD, and Graham Spanier went a different direction and brought in Bill Byrne. What was that like for you as an assistant in 1992 with the transition from Bob Devaney? Did it affect you much? Were you concerned about it? What was life like back then?
Well, anytime you have somebody coming in that you know nothing about, really, it's a concern. No matter whether he's Superman or whoever it is, you're still concerned about, you know, what he is. Now, Al Papik, with the background he had, you know, I was really thought that was probably, when you go along with it, the best choice because of his demeanor and his intelligence about the athletic programs, being a coach, being an athletic director, even though it was at a small school. You know, he knew the ropes, and his demeanor could get along with any president.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was very, you know, he might have his own feelings, but he would never ruffle feathers to a point, you know, that would cause any kind of problems. And so I, you know, we were really, I think as a staff, maybe not coming out and saying it, but probably as a staff, wished that he had, of course, been the athletic director. However, we were allowed as assistant coaches to actually sit down with Bill Byrne and spent some time basically interviewing him about what his thoughts were about this and that and everything else. So, you know, it whether it made us all feel better, I don't know. Like, you know, it's still, you still don't know a person. I don't think you can feel better until you really know a person, you know, for a period of time. You know, the trust factor, mm-hmm. is it there? I don't know. You know, right off the bat, I'd say it'd be a little hard to say, well, we trust him. That would be pretty much on the outside, I would think, really, because you have to be around the person. That we were around Al, knew where he was coming from, knew that he wouldn't fool around with anybody. I mean, he was a nice person, but if you were on the wrong track, you might be looking for another job.
Sure.
And, you know, he wasn't anybody that, you know, was a big second. You know, I don't think he'd give you too many second chances. And so that was something that I really felt, you know. And I can honestly say, if there was one person that I've worked with, you know, outside the coaching profession at Nebraska, was Al Pathick. I mean, I would trust that man to the end of the world. Mm. So I'm partial, you know, and I always will be.
Coach McBride with us, Hale Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, I have about 90 seconds left, and just a word on continuity. And that was kind of the point Coach Osborne had back then, was this has been set up from Coach Devaney to where we're at now, and it's working, and the same faces have been there, and it doesn't exist anymore, does it? Continuity is pretty hard in college football, let alone college athletics.
Right. Well, I don't know. You know, we were so simple back then. It was easier to say our continuity was it was probably under control, very, very good, because there were, if you go back, we had professional people come in and scouts and say, you know, you only have two assistant athletic directors, really, and that was George Sullivan, who was in charge of the equipment and the training table, and Tom Osborne is in charge of football.
Mm-hmm.
And those are two ADs, and now you got 25 of them or so. I don't know what's going on. You know, they have one for each sport, I know, at SC, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And but, you know, then you were able to really bring in, you know, your whole program into a solid knot.
Gotcha.
You know, as I would say, and now you have people that probably maybe don't know each other even as well as you'd like them to be. I mean, a new person comes in here,
mm-hmm.
You know, and comes in Nebraska now. It's a job just to learn what they're all about.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and each person can be a great hire, and all of a sudden maybe it isn't so good. So.
Sure.
You know, that's the way of life now. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they have so many specialists, it's amazing.
Coach Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie, Hale Varsity Radio. Coach, I'll keep working on my golf score, and we'll talk next week. How's that sound?
Well, I haven't even tried to swing yet, but I'm going to get to it.
We'll do so. That'd be fun.
Okay.
Coach,
well, listen, good talking to you.
Uh-huh, thank
okay.
you. There he is.
You bet. Find out.
Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie, Hale Varsity Radio. Great perspective on the transition of power with Devaney, and also thoughts on that hybrid. Caller 4, Caller 5, right now a 6-month online subscription for you to HaleVarsity.com, the ultimate online fan experience. Great info on some of the kids Nebraska's looking at the satellite camps, recruiting analysis, breaking news, all that with HaleVarsity.com. A 6-month subscription yours right now. Caller 4, caller 5, 466-3776. 466-3776, 800-825-5865.
Welcome back to the Hale Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Back to it. Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine, HaleVarsity.com. He is back from Corvallis. And I tell you what, he's everywhere. Kevin Suits, 1011 Sports. Suitsy, it's been a while. You've missed me. How are you?
I miss you every day, Smitty. It's good to hear your voice again.
Well, it's good to hear from you, and you were out in Corvallis. We'll start with baseball before we get into your house tour in Corvallis.
Yeah.
What's up with Nebraska baseball? That's kind of been the question, the floating bubble above Nebraska fans' heads the past 24, 48 hours. And listen, Oregon State's an amazing team. But to not get a chance to play them, I think, is the source of the frustration. What was your read on this past weekend for Nebraska baseball?
Well, they just didn't have it. You know, baseball's kind of a game where some days you have it, some days you don't, regardless of who's on the mound. And I would go back to the first game of the regional on Friday when Nebraska was squaring off with Yale. The Huskers throw Jake Myers, and when Jake started that Friday game, with the first three guys he faced reaching base, you knew something just wasn't quite right. And I really think that set the tone for the entire weekend. I'll give Yale some credit. That was a pretty good baseball team. They're not as bad as people might make them out to be. And even their coach said afterwards that the Ivy League doesn't get enough credit baseball-wise as it should. And they won that league, and they had a pretty good record doing it. So, but if you go back to Nebraska, there were just so many things that I saw out in Corvallis that you're like, man, it's just not fair at that point in time. And I don't know why that was. I mean, because they even came off of a 1-2 showing at the Big Ten tournament. But if you look at Saturday's game, too, early in the ball game after Nebraska got down a pair of runs, Jesse Wilkening with two on, he hit a shot to left center. It was caught about 5 feet away from the wall. It would have been a go-ahead home run. And then following him in the order was Luke Roscoe. And he fled out to the track. So I think the Myers giving up three hits to start the game on Friday and those back-to-back fly balls to the warning track, I think that they'll be the two images that maybe just kind of recap the weekend for me that, you know, that was a good team, Nebraska, throughout the season. But at the end, it just wasn't there for him for whatever reason.
Do you think it's fair to say that Myers was the barometer this year? I mean, the team went as he went.
Yeah, that's hard to do with a pitcher, though, because, you know, pitchers only throw once a week, so you can't really gauge an entire team off of one guy. But factoring in that Jake does play in the field, too, I think it's a fair comment, Schmidt. But, you know, the losing on a Myers start, that is kind of a risk that Darren Erstad and his staff went with, is, you know, we're going to throw Jake in game one, and the whole intent behind that was, let's win game one. And let's give ourselves a shot against Oregon State on Saturday. And I know everybody back here wanted to see that matchup. Everybody wanted to see the matchup when the bracket first came out, knowing Nebraska was going to go to Corvallis, which was home to the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament. That would have been fun. And being there, I got to experience the Oregon State atmosphere, and it's fun. It's vibrant. And that team is so incredibly good. I really hope they make it to Oregon, to Omaha, so I can watch them in another couple of weeks. That would have been fun. And, you know, that was kind of the whole goal of the trip, was to be able to see Nebraska match up with Oregon State. I don't know if too many fans said, hey, they're going to go, they want to watch Nebraska win that regional. I think the whole goal from a fan's perspective, Darren Erstad would disagree with this, but the fans just wanted to see Nebraska match up with Oregon State, and it never happened. And then you factor in the two teams that beat the Huskers, Yale and Holy Cross. That just kind of really makes it sting.
Kevin Suits, a few minutes with us, Hale Varsity Radio, 1011 Sports, 1011now.com. And, of course, you can catch Suitsy weeknights and weekends on 1011. He's back from Corvallis, covered Nebraska baseball, followed Nebraska baseball out west. We talked to Pat Casey last week. He's kind enough to come on with us a couple times a year, and he knows he has a special crew, and he's trying to downplay the revenge tour type deal as they were snubbed last year. Nebraska and Coach Erstad have been able to build themselves up to be a program that does get to the postseason. They've won a conference championship. The Big Ten's playing much better baseball when you look at the number of teams that got in. I know they got ousted in many of the regionals. From a philosophy standpoint, and it was said and underlined several times over the weekend and at different points of the year, not getting that big hit. I know that's baseball, but Nebraska offensively asks a lot, it seems like, of their guys to string together hits versus having a power guy in the lineup. Do you expect Nebraska to maybe try and address that in coming seasons from a recruiting standpoint, getting a power guy in that lineup?
You have to. I mean, I think Darren Erstad is a smart enough guy that he knows that that's the shortcoming, and it's kind of done the Huskers in the last couple of years. So I know he's going to be looking for not only a consistent bat, but a big bat, somebody that can really kind of alter the lineup. Scott Schreiber showed some glimpses of that last year when he was healthy during the regular season, because he had double-digit home runs. And, you know, when Scott dug in, that's when all the fans got on the edge of their seats. But that was lacking this year. And you go back to Nebraska's game on Saturday that ended the season. The Huskers, at one point, fifth inning, game was tied. They had two on, and the heart of the order was up 3-4-5. Two of those batters struck out. The other one popped out. And so that's exactly what they need to try to solve right there. Because if you can play one run, maybe two runs, that game completely changes. Possibly the regional changes a little bit too, because maybe you get a shot at Oregon State then. So that's the glaring thing. And Darren Erstad, he's putting it on himself too. He said multiple times, we didn't get the big hit, I'm the hitting coach, so it's on me. And one way to address that and not only develop these hitters and help them understand how to read a pitch and how to read a pitcher and what to look at when you're on the in the on-deck circle, but maybe going out and recruiting and making a hard push at somebody that could really, like a Jake Adams at Iowa, if they could get a guy like that, that, man, when he digs in, you think that the whole game could change, that could really be in Nebraska's benefit if they can get a guy like that in the future.
Well, it's a way to create some momentum, and you know how important that is in baseball. From a body language standpoint, was this team tight? Was their energy good? Was it bad? Was it so-so? What did you see with your own eyes there? I mean, were they tight about the opportunity?
I think they were loose pregame, but I just felt like when they got behind, it changed.
Squeezed.
There was a sense of pressure, and when you're in a pressure situation, you need a big play. You need a big hit, and that's just what didn't happen. And plus, if you watch the dugouts, and even there was a fan from Oregon State who noticed this too. He had watched pretty much every game at the regional I was talking to on Saturday night. And he noticed that Nebraska's dugout just didn't seem very alive. Yale definitely was on Friday. Those guys were extremely happy to be at the regional. And you could tell that they were just playing loose. They were playing fun. They don't make it to the NCAA tournament all that time. They hadn't won the NCAA tournament in over a decade. So that was a team that, you know, just kind of really relished in the moment. And I think that there was an element of pressure for Nebraska that kind of went against their favor.
What's your reaction to Nebraska fan out there? And there's some vocal minority that's questioning the direction of the program.
If that's a question about if Darren Erstad should be the head coach, I think it's ridiculous. Right. I mean, he was the Big Ten Big Ten coach of the year. You're not going to get rid of a guy that's taken you to the NCAA tournament three times over the past 6 years. Big Ten coach of the year. You finally won a league championship. So if anything, I feel like the rope should be loosened a little bit on Coach Erstad. But it's amazing how so quickly, you know, four games can change all of that and change the complexion. I know that the bad thing about this is this lingers now until February of next year. So that's the bad thing. And I even asked Darren about that in the post-game press conference following the loss to Holy Cross. Is, you know, how do you address a fan that might think that this was the big summation of the year, the two games out here in Corvallis as opposed to the whole body of work, which included a Big Ten championship? And he said, I can't change anybody's opinion. You can think whatever you want to think. But he knew in his heart how hard his team worked. And I think that there is an element there, too, that this team was never outstanding. Darren got a lot out of a group of guys that were above average. I don't know that this team was ever going to be anything like 2005 or 2008. This was the 2017 Huskers, and they had a ceiling. And I think Darren got them to play at their ceiling, if not close to it, for a good majority of the season. I think winning the Big Ten championship when the league sent five teams to the NCAA tournament, I think that was a pretty good accomplishment. And you can't overlook that right now, though you are stewing on two losses to mid-majors teams in the NCAA tournament.
Kevin Suits with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Suitsy, about 2 minutes here. Your trip to Mike Riley's childhood home. Tell me about that. There's a link to it on HailVarsity.com. Vogue's put up your interview with the homeowner who apparently likes to wear red. Is that right?
I got to tell you, Smitty, that was one of my more entertaining days on my job, was getting to visit Mike Riley's hometown, because not only did I go to Riley's childhood home, which he lived in way back when, you know, his mom and dad owned the place, and that's where I believe they lived there. They moved there when Mike was in middle school. So mm-hmm. that's where he developed a love of sports. And it's not a big home, but it had a concrete slab out front. And the current homeowner is originally from South Sioux City. He's lived there for 20 years. So when he purchased the home 20 years ago, he had no idea the history of the home. And it wasn't until a lady was walking along the street and told him, hey, this is the Riley's old house. And the homeowner, Ray, he even told me that one time he was just out picking up sticks in the backyard and there were cameras in the front. And so we went out front to find out what the fuss was, and they were shooting some video because they were doing a story on Mike Riley, and that's when he was at Oregon State at the time. So just a really neat connection there. He's met Coach Riley. He first met him in Corvallis, and he, in fact, was out at Nebraska's spring game here just this past spring, because he knows Coach Riley and he's got that unique connection. And Corvallis is a very tight-knit community. And Ray knows some of Mike's childhood friends. He's become friends with them. So he's kind of in the Mike Riley inner circle now. And so that was just so fun to just shake some hands and get the feel of Corvallis and everybody. I can't understate this. Everybody has a Mike Riley story in that town, because I got the sense that he was just always out and about. I got to visit some of his favorite places to eat, some of his favorite places to go, and I even went over to Gale Coliseum, and that's where Scott Spiegelberg works, and Scott is one of Mike's very close friends right now, and in fact was Mike Riley's rival in high school. They were opposing quarterbacks. They played each other back-to-back years for state championships. Spiegelberg's team won junior year, Riley's team won senior year, and hearing that man tell stories was just incredible.
Kevin Suits, 1011 Sports. Kevin, awesome work, man. Thanks for giving us a few minutes, and fun to catch up. We'll do it again.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Schmitty.
Be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
We will give you a Jay Moore update sometime this week. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, and you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Thanks to Kevin Suits, back from Corvallis. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. Coach McBride started things off. We hit on some hybrid defender talk and the the difficulty of coaching that, but guys like Mr. Blackshirt made it look easy. And then Mike Babcock in our number one. We had plenty of Nebraska baseball. I want to remind you, 7 out of 10, that's too many. The portion of unbuckled vehicle occupants killed in Nebraska last year, if they've been using their seatbelts, 69 alive today. Now, law enforcement on the lookout for seatbelt violations. National Click It or Ticket campaign is going on, so be aware. And they'll be writing tickets for seatbelt and child restraint violations. Remember, save a life. Save yours or another life when you click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office. Is it over? NBA Finals. I was excited. I was kind of amped up. Really good game till half. Really good game at portions of the third quarter. And then a grenade or several went off because Golden State is Golden State. Is it over? Or do you think the last stand is game three for Cleveland? I have played this over and over and over, and I just so badly want some drama and some juiciness. I want it to be a good series. Not just because I don't want to admit I'm wrong and go steak and beer with TJ. I'm serious that I want some sort of just epic finish, because that's how I feel about both of these teams. They make me smile at watching sports. They're a ton of fun. And they are, at both of them, that are at a level you haven't seen that often. But you have one team right now with the addition of Durant that they are unbeatable.
Yeah.
And I don't take that lightly. Vegas even favoring this year's Warriors team over the 72-win Bulls. They say that this year's Warriors team would beat the Chicago Bulls team of 96, I think, when they beat Seattle. Sorry, Mr. Babcock and Sean Kemp and company.
Rain Man.
Rain Man and Gary Payton and
the Glove.
Michael Cage and Detlef Schrempf. So, listen, this is going to need to get good and juicy in Game 3 or it is done. I'm going to hold off and say it's not done. It looks absolutely done. But I'm going to wait till Game 3 before I say it's toe tag time or not.
Yeah, so if you're wanting hope that this will turn around, you can look towards last year's NBA Finals where the first two games, Golden State just mopped Cleveland.
Didn't it look like it was over and done?
Yeah, it looked like over and done. And then Game 3, there's a blowout by Cleveland all of a sudden. So there could still be hope, but man, I'm telling you, it's a simple thing, but it's just Kevin Durant is making plays that Harrison Barnes wasn't last year. I mean, you had that sequence last night where Kevin Durant blocks Kyrie from behind, takes it from him, pull up three, and then he steals the next play, and just all the momentum is with Golden State. I mean, that guy is a 6'11 freak and can make things happen. I mean, just he'll never have a shot blocked.
He's playing so free. He's playing very free, and you had seven guys in double figures last night for Golden State. All five starters. Two guys chip in 10 off the bench. You got a phenomenal effort from Love. He was great last night.
Yeah, he was.
And LeBron was so possessed. I'm not a huge LeBron guy.
He had.
But he was just incredible.
He was. He still is.
He was fantastic, but you got nothing from Irving.
Those three got to combine for 75.
Here is the bottom line, and we've kind of beat the dead horse on this with Husker baseball when it comes from margin of error, okay? Well, it's slim for Nebraska baseball, pitching, hitting, defense. It's minute for Cleveland. 13 first-half turnovers, doesn't matter. Golden State can kick it into gear and play a B or B-plus game and still beat this Cleveland team.
Well, isn't that crazy, though? Their margin for
error. I never thought I'd see that.
Their margin for error is slim, yet they have LeBron, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Love. Like, that's just crazy to say out loud. They have a small margin for error, but look, I mean, a 73-win team adds Kevin Durant, and now they have a chance to be the first ever 16-0 team in the postseason. I mean, they have the best start ever right now at 14-0.
Here is LeBron and a reporter last night because, well, we got to ask, is home court still defendable?
LeBron, you just feel this is a case where you guys just need to defend home court at this point?
Well, I mean, are you a smart guy?
Sure.
I think so, right? So if we don't defend home court, what happens?
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
I'm asking you.
Well, yeah, then you guys are looking at getting swept.
All right. So that answers your question.
Yeah, it's defendable. How about, hey, can you pull off a 3-1 deficit like last year? Do you have to win all of them at home? That's the way you phrase it.
It just looks so tough right now. Even though we know last year it turned around and you got the best player in the series, LeBron. But, man, I just... Like you tell last night, he was just running out of gas. He's not getting enough help from everybody. And that's crazy to think with Kyrie and Kevin Love on your team.
The reality is setting in that this, you can't win.
But if they somehow do, holy cow. Like, would you, because I'm already there where I think LeBron's the greatest player ever. Like, could you entertain him being better than Jordan if he were to come back and win this thing, Schmidt?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Because that's how buried in the ice they are. And it's not him and it's not even Love. It's the fact that all three got to be at maximum efficiency and ability.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they all got to be... LeBron was 12 of 18, and he had three fouls on Durant, and he had three fouls on Draymond in the third quarter, and it's right there. I never thought I'd say that about Jordan. But if LeBron comes back and beats this Warriors team, and he has help around him, I mean, he's got a trio himself. It is something that I didn't think I'd ever see. Ever. But it ain't going to matter. I mean, he may get a game, but they're done. Gary's been on hold. Let's go to the phone. Sounds tap the line. Chilling Bridge Cork and Tap House. Gary, thanks for hanging on. Go ahead, bud.
Hey, well, so my question is what did that reporter, how did that reporter expect LeBron to respond to that question?
Oh, exactly. I mean, he's trying to get a comment with a bad question.
Well, it's a horrible. I understand, you know, I understand, yeah, even horrible questions you have to ask, but you don't ask somebody if they think they could defend their home court.
See, yeah, do you still have to do it?
That's crazy.
LeBron just should have. Violence would have been okay there, is my point.
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, you know, the other
kidding.
Thing was, I read some comments on Twitter about Steph, you know, kind of getting in LeBron's face a little bit. And I thought, why did they object to that? I mean, there's one way to stop that, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's to stop him.
Shut him down. Absolutely.
Shut him down, yeah.
Gary.
We'll let you guys have a great day.
Thanks, bud. Appreciate it. Yeah. If I'm Steph, though, I just kind of keep doing what I'm doing and realize I've got a lot of help.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Tomorrow on the show, we are awaiting word on a Big Ten Buffet. Rick Pizzo, maybe, maybe not. Mitch Sherman tomorrow. Mike Babcock, phenomenal today. HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Blackshirt Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride was with us, as always. And then Kevin Suits on his way back from Corvallis. So we have a couple things to get you hooked up with before we say goodbye. The Smokin' Hot Dad Cue to Call is coming up shortly. Caller 3 right now, though, for World of Outlaws, Craftsman Sprint Car Series at Eagle Raceway. It's going on June 13th. That is a week from tomorrow. A pair of tickets right now. What I say? Caller what? 3. Caller 3. Caller 3, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Caller 3 now, a pair of World of Outlaw Craftsman Sprint Car Series tickets at Eagle Raceway. Great folks out in Eagle. Caller 3 now. You get a pair of tickets here to the World of Outlaws, June 13th. That'll be a 7:30 start. Be nice to TJ. And if you're caller 3, you get the hookup. Still a chance for you to listen for that cue to call in the Smokin' Hot Dad promotion. Coach McBride wants to be involved with this, but he is not eligible, I don't think, for a grill. Because we're not giving away a grill, we're giving away a smoker. How nice would a smoker be for Father's Day? Smoker giveaway Friday, this Friday. Smoker giveaway next Friday on Hail Varsity. Also, keep tuned to Greg Guthin Smith. Your chance to qualify the Southern County stainless steel electric smoker. 351 square inch cooking surface, 5.5 quart water pan, sliding access door. Built-in temperature gauge, value at just shy of $550. Also, $100 gift card to Leon's Gourmet Grocer. Love Leon's folks. They were smart enough to play me a tight end back in the day. Also, a gift basket from Leon's, including spices, rubs, wood chips, wood planks, and a steak certificate. So, you got to listen for that cue to call coming up for the Smokin' Hot Dad promotion. When you hear it, be caller 9. We'll have more Outlaw tickets to give away tomorrow, more chances for you to qualify and get a subscription to HailVarsity.com. So the news today, quarterback-wise for Nebraska, is the following, that Nebraska has offered their 2019 quarterback, and he is all the way from Council Bluffs, Iowa, Max Duggan, Lewis Central. Every year, Abraham Lincoln, Lewis Central, the rivalry in Council Bluffs. I would do a TV game in Omaha for Cox TV with Mark Kranak, and we'd see Council Bluffs football, and we would weep. Kidding. You have a talented quarterback in Max Duggan. He has 8 Division I offers, Power 5 offers, includes James Franklin and Penn State, includes Iowa State, who was the first to offer him. It includes Iowa, Minnesota. He is sought after. He's 6'1", a 180, multi-sport star, going to be hitting the camp circuit a ton. He'll be at a Friday night's light deal coming up here for Nebraska here in June. Friday Night Lights is obviously huge. Nebraska on the road now in Texas, San Antonio as we speak. But Nebraska has their quarterback offer out there. That is gold. And if you can get a kid to commit to you for 2019 at quarterback and he's in Council Bluffs. Oh, got to be caller 9 now. My fault. Sorry.
Hey, can one of your weathermen come over here and comment on the meat while I'm cooking it?
Yeah, I got it.
Man alive, there's nothing better than a hamburger grilled to perfection.
Hey, don't flip them too often now. You don't want to lose your juices.
Caller 9 now at 402-466-ESPN is instantly qualified to win a brand new smoker this Friday from ESPN 1480.
Smokin'!